It's a real joy to be with you today. As you know, we've been gone for some time, and we were back last Sunday. But one of the things that I had to think about here today, and that is in this the last verse of this last song, and lead us to God, our final rest. And I just really had to think about in the last about 3 months that we've had several people that went to their final rest. There's some empty spots here. And I think of John Freeman. He hadn't been here a lot in the last while, but still is an empty spot. Idella, gone. Art, gone. And now Clara. She's not gone yet, as far as I know, but it doesn't look good for her. But I hope we can think about that. That's our goal. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're aiming for. Is that time when we meet God with our final rest. I trust we can take that seriously. Today I'd like to look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I've been reading in the book of Daniel the last while. And Daniel's only a book of 12 chapters. But I've been taking my time as I work through it. But chapter 4 caught my eye, and I decided that I would preach from that. When I was asked to preach, praying about it and so on, I decided to preach from Daniel chapter 4. Now, Daniel chapter 1 we're familiar with. That's where Daniel and the three Hebrew boys brought to Babylon, and they made a decision about what they would eat and so on. We know that story. Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, who we'll again see today in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and Daniel interprets it, and a dream that had a lot to do with world history. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds a statue and commands everyone to bow down to it. We have the story of the three boys, the three men that refused and ended up in the furnace. Today we have Daniel chapter 4, chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall. And again, Daniel interprets that handwriting and Babylon is defeated. In chapter 6, you have Daniel again and the lion's den. And then from chapter 7 to 12, you have Daniel with his visions and dreams. And some of them take place earlier and later and so on. But Daniel, the book of Daniel is a fascinating book and has a lot even to yet for today. Chapter 4. In chapter 4, something that is fascinating and interesting about chapter 4 is that it's not written by Daniel. Most of it's not. Most of it is written by Nebuchadnezzar. And it's kind of his personal testimony with this event that took place. Now, there's a part of it there that somebody else had to write, most likely Daniel. But the king himself writes this account, and it has to be a very humbling account for him to write. Now, what is our goal here today? What are we trying to do? I always like to have a goal when it comes to preaching a sermon. And the goal today, I find in the first three verses, because I want us to learn. I want us to learn from this account. I want us to take and apply some things here. The title of the lesson, if you've seen it in the bulletin, is the Nebuchadnezzar in us. Every one of us, I believe, has some of the same attitudes and spirit and so on that Nebuchadnezzar had. I think every one of us can identify with some of that. Now, we're not kings. We're not all powerful. I mean, really powerful like he was, and all the different things that he was involved with. But some of those basic attitudes that Nebuchadnezzar had, I'm afraid all of us can be guilty of. And all of it, and it can affect all of us. And that's why I used that title there, the Nebuchadnezzar in us. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. By the way, I encourage you to take your Bibles. I don't have this up on the wall. If you have a Bible with you, take it and follow along, because I'm going to be reading through this and making some comments. But that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. And here's something I want us to learn, if we don't, I'm sure we already know it, but just to remind us, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That's who God is. And it's good for us to be reminded of that. Over in verse 25, and again we'll read this later on, in verse 25, the last part of that verse, it says, and this is what my goal is today, is to help us, to remind us of this, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And then go over to the very last verse of the chapter in verse 37. And he says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, and this is where he came out at. This is after all of this. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And so that's what I want us, in all of us, to think about and to remember and to learn here from the message today. Let's go to verse 4. And begin, and as we want to work through the passage and see this account. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Isn't that how a lot of stories start? You pick up a book and it was a beautiful sunny day, everything was just fine until things fall apart. Seems like that's the way a lot of stories start. And this began at night. I saw a dream which made me afraid. Now, here was a man that probably being afraid wasn't a normal emotion that he had. I mean, after all, he was king. If something bothered him, he just said, you do it. And he made a decree. Or he just said, off with your head, or whatever he wanted to do. And he wasn't used to being afraid, but he had a dream that made him afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Does that sound familiar? Sound like another dream that he had back in chapter 2. Now there's a difference in this dream. And I can just imagine that when he called in the magicians and all these different people to come in and interpret his dream, these people were shaking in their boots. They know what, they remembered what had happened some years earlier. And they're probably thinking, is he going to tell us the dream? Or is he going to do like he did last time? Last time he said, I had a dream, and I don't remember what it was. You tell me what it was and the interpretation of it. Well, this time was different. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream. This time he tells them what the dream is. And by the way, it's interesting. Probably all of us have dreams. Can you give the details of a dream like he does here as we go down through this? Usually I can get a little vague thing, you know, of a dream that I had. But he goes into really details of his dream. I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. That's how he named Daniel. Now, we always know him as Daniel. But if you go back to chapter 1, you'll see that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, their names were changed. Matter of fact, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that might be their Babylonian names. I can't remember for sure. But Daniel, we always think about Daniel. Very, very seldom do we refer to him as Belteshazzar. But he named him after his God. And in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? Now, it's interesting when you hear somebody that is not used to the terms that we use. In church, we use terms. We say something and people understand what we're saying. But oftentimes when you hear people that are not used to that describe something within the church and so on, they sometimes use terms that are different. Kind of interesting sometimes. And he says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Now, he begins to tell him, and he starts explaining to him what this dream is. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. Pretty big tree. The tree, the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. In other words, the birds lived in it, and all flesh were fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. Now, this is an interesting expression. A watcher and an holy one. It's the same person. He's not talking about there are two different people or two different watchers. He's talking about a watcher. He was a watcher and an holy one come down from heaven. Now, I think we would say this was an angel that came down from heaven. But it was interesting how he called him a watcher. Do you think of angels as watchers? You think about your guardian angel? You ever think about, you know, we like to think about those guardian angels that, and we had some, you know, this morning some testimonies of near accidents and so on. And I believe our guardian angel was there to help in that. We usually think of that. You think of our guardian angel as watching us? Interesting. This watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, and this angel is booming out his voice. I don't think I can do it quite as much as he did. But he's booming this out. Hew down the tree and cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Now notice in this the pronouns change here. He first talks about a tree, but all of a sudden now he talks about his. In verse 16, let his heart. So it's indicating that this tree is becoming a person. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter, and again, this watcher is crying this out. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, that's us too, everyone, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. That word base there is not, sometimes that word base is used as wicked, but this means the humblest of men. So God can take the humble and make them mighty. He can take the mighty and make them humble. And this is what he's saying. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. This is what it is. Now, thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now, it's Daniel's turn to respond. And I can just imagine as Nebuchadnezzar is telling this dream to Daniel, that Daniel, his countenance and his manner and so on changes. Because he's realizing what's happening. He's realizing the interpretation of this dream. And then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished. That's not a word we normally use. But it means that he was stunned. Or he was devastated. Because he realized what was going on here. It says for 1 hour. It's just like he sat there for 1 hour and didn't move. And his thoughts troubled him. And I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar kept waiting for him. You know, you sit and watch somebody for an hour, that's a long time, without saying anything. And Nebuchadnezzar wasn't used to that. And so he sat there, and finally the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. In other words, he's saying, this is not good news. This is not something that's pleasant to repeat. And sometimes God's word isn't. Sometimes God's word isn't pleasant to our ears because it rebukes us and so on. Now Daniel begins the interpretation. He says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. Now I'm sure those were words that was difficult for Daniel to speak. I think he, you know, after all, he was one of the main leaders there, Daniel was, one of Nebuchadnezzar's top men. But he said, "It is thou, O king, it's you, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High." See? Nebuchadnezzar, he's starting to learn that he's not the Most High. But this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Seven times. I think it's 7 years. That's a long time. And he's saying that, Nebuchadnezzar, this is about you. And he said that it's going to be this long, and this is what's going to happen to you, until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou have known that the heavens do rule. And then he adds this, Daniel does, and he says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Now, it's interesting that Daniel puts that in there. He's saying, "King, here's what I'm counseling you to do. Turn away from your sin." And Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure, was a wicked man. And all the things that in his life and so on. He says, "Break off thy sins by righteousness." In other words, do right. Turn away from your sin and do what's right. And it's interesting how he specifically mentions and showing mercy to the poor. Well, it was interesting this morning in our Sunday school class. We had that there about the poor. You always have the poor with you and so on. But it seemed like that was something that there's something about that, of how we relate to poor, how the poor, that says a lot about us. And we'll talk about more of that later. Now, the writer kind of changes here at verse 28. And here again, I think probably it was Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar stops here at this point, and he says, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar." Now, let me read the next one. "And at the end of 12 months," and so you have this happening, Daniel interprets the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and I can just imagine that for a while, Nebuchadnezzar thought about that dream. He thought about what Daniel had said. But you know, Nebuchadnezzar is probably a lot like we are. And that is, it seems like sometimes the Lord can speak to us. And it, you know, it really speaks to us, and we think, you know, this is something I really got to change and something that really needs to happen in my life. And then we go on and we kind of get busy. And it kind of recedes into our memory. And we kind of forget about it. Maybe for a while he had mercy for the poor. And maybe he tried to do things that were right and so on. And he probably thought, oh, 1 month went by, I guess I'm doing pretty good. I go, no, but, you know, 2 months go by, he's doing well, 3 months. And 6 months later, he probably thought, I bet God forgot all about this. I must have done pretty good. And then he keeps on going, and it goes down to 12 months. And I don't know what was going on in the palace that day. I get the feeling he was talking to others. Maybe it was a number of his counselors and important people there. But at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And for some reason, he needed to declare and to lift up himself. Maybe he had gotten into an argument with somebody. Maybe somebody had questioned him of who he was and so on. But the king spake and said in verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built? See the I there? Didn't I build this great Babylon for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? See the my there? Mine? This is where I think we all have some Nebuchadnezzar in us. It's easy to think that what we have and what we've done and so on, I have done that. I did it by my smarts. I did it by my work and my labor. It was me. And people need to appreciate me and look at me. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar so much more. But verse 31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, he just barely had it out of his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, and here again, I think it was the watcher proclaimed it, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Kind of reminds me of the next chapter when Belteshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, heard these words from Daniel and that the kingdom was departed. It really was departed that time. The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. Now, something caught my attention here. I underlined that word they. And they shall drive thee from men. I'm not sure who all that they was. But it made me stop and think about the fact that no matter how important we may think we are or what all we can do, there's always a they in our lives. There's always a they. And there's someone that is going to have to take over. If we can no longer function, somebody will have to. And if we fail, someone else will have to take over. I don't know, somehow that just struck me there. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Remember, this is that voice that boomed out of heaven. And I think not only Nebuchadnezzar heard it, I think everyone else did too. And then Nebuchadnezzar goes on to, the writer here goes on to say, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was, now notice, just think about this. Here's this man who was king. And you might say he was the king of a lot of the world at that time. The most powerful man in the world. And it says, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Can you imagine the picture that he was? A man so high and yet brought down so low. And it said he went out and, I don't know, I think he just became uncontrollable. I think he became like a beast. I think they had to pen him up in the pasture. They probably had a special place out in the palace that he probably would refuse to stay inside. And he'd go down and he'd go out and he wanted to be outside and he'd go out and he'd eat grass like an ox. And he refused to let anybody take care of him. And it said his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails of his hand became like claws. Like bird's claws. What a horrible picture of a man. But God brought that on him to teach him. Now, hopefully, God doesn't have to bring something like that into our life. We'll look at that more later. And then he says, verse 34, and now again, Nebuchadnezzar begins to write. And at the end of the days, how long? 7 years. Think about 7 years. What was 7 years ago? This is 19. That was back in 2012. How would you like to be in that condition for all these 7 years? And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. You know, I had to wonder, who took care of things in that 7 years? I think Daniel was probably involved in it. I think he assured people, God is going to bring this man back. Let him there and let him learn and so on. But he says, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven and mine understanding returned unto me. One of those days after 7 years he was out there and all of a sudden it's just kind of like he wakes up. And he begins to realize, he probably looks at his hands, he probably feels his hair, and he realizes the shape that he's in, and he thinks, what is going on? And maybe it comes back to him. Oh, I remember, how long ago was that? I remember back there, I was saying what all the things I've done, and I remember a voice coming. And all these things begin to come back to him. And he says, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? Have you ever asked God, God, what are you doing? Sometimes we do that, don't we? What are you doing? And at the same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, an excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, what a difference in this man, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What a lesson that there is there. A lesson that it was for Nebuchadnezzar. And I hope it's a lesson for us. I hope we can learn from what he is saying. Are we learning that lesson? Remember, our goal here today was to learn, to see who God is, to see that we worship him as the Almighty. He is the one that raises up kings and sets down kings. You know, we can get pretty concerned about what's happening in our country, can't we? Can we trust that God is in control? Can we trust that? What about this thing of showing mercy to the poor? You know, I think one of the places that pride really shows up in our lives, and that is how we regard the poor. Do we hold them in contempt? Do we just say, oh, if you'd do better, you know, you could be like, you could do things like I do? Sometimes we look down on people. And it's easy to see people like that. Instead of looking at people and saying, you know, that person, God, that person was made in the image of God. The Lord loves that person just as much as he loves me. And having mercy to the poor. Hard for us to do sometimes. But let's remember that those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He's able to take down. And so I trust we've learned some lessons here from Nebuchadnezzar, that we all have some Nebuchadnezzar in us, don't we? And let's let the Lord help us. Let's repent and say, Lord, take those things out of my life. Take that haughty spirit, that proud spirit out of my life. And help me to realize who you are. And you are in control. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand for closing prayer.